Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go now.
You heard it.
Come on. Caucus Force of the 12th Man.
Talking Sports.
Dr. Dre, hit him with that beat.
On the air. Yes, sir. Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are officially ready to roll. Team, are you ready? Rob, you ready? Curtis, you ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's make it do what it do.
Kind of a different feel, but we'll have some fun here. Man, we are making some waves. We are making tracks on this, wrapping up the month of July, heading into August. Man, we got a lot of things going on. Again, a lot of love, birthdays, all that fun stuff. We are officially ready to get this party started. Before we do so, hopefully, my man JQ will be calling in soon, but let's get the party started, as we always do. Let's say what's up to my crew. Rob Ford, you get the first nod. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to talk some sports. Hey, training camp is in the air. Football is around the corner. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. Let's make it do what it do.
My next guy, West Coast, I'm going to show him some love. Hey, Mr. Gary, how you feel? Or Curtis, I'm thinking Gary here. Curtis, how you feeling, man? You feeling all right?
I'm feeling good. Tomorrow's my birthday. I'll be 50. I'll be 59 tomorrow.
Oh, man, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Don't do anything too crazy, okay? Have some fun though. Don't do anything.
You know what I've done. You know what I've done for 20 years on my birthday. I have made sure that I've always had that day off from work. So
nice.
What I've done for myself on my birthday is to wake up and to do whatever I wanted to do, not anything
nice.
That I had to do. Not anything that I, you know, had the force to do. I've always, for over 20 years, been taking my birthday off, which is
nice.
Served me well.
That's what you got to do, man. You got to make it definitely, you. I mean, I love birthdays, man. I tell everyone, man, you got to enjoy that day, man. It's something that, you know, no one ever celebrates like you do, but I think it's fantastic, man.
Hey, Andre, where's the celebration music?
Oh, man, I'll get some going for two. Anyway, we got to get this party started, man. We'll jump in, but we'll
it's
show some
more.
It's a party
going on
right here. A celebration. A little cool in the gang, man, all the way. All right, let me throw out some numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Get this party started, and we will show some love again to my man, to Curtis, as we get this party started. But really quickly, let's throw out the numbers as we do every single show. 424-243-9519 is the number. Call out your boys. That's what we do. You want to obviously follow us on Twitter. It's at the number 12, THMA in sports. That's the easiest way to do that. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/ Talking Sports with 12th Man and 12th Man Sports. You will find us in that arena as well. So, Curtis, you're kind of going solo here. We had some pretty big news regarding your NFL team, the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones. Did he just declare a negotiating war with Zeke Elliott after his comments about, you don't need like a rushing champion to win the Super Bowl, man. So what are your thoughts on that? Curtis, you are leading us right out the gate, so tell us what you think about that.
Well, Jerry Jones, and I think his role is diminishing here and there. And the fact is, and what I've been hearing on talk radio, running backs, in these big contracts, and we got the example with Todd Gurley. I mean, with what they call it, economics, or what do they call that? where they do the computer now, they don't pan out on second contracts.
Yeah.
And that's a reality. But they got to get their quarterback, their receiver, and some of their linebackers before they get to their running back. And I just question this guy's maturity. He's 2 years out on a contract when you got Amari and Zach a year away, and they feel like it's going to take care of themselves. My thought is, what is he doing? What is he doing? And then I flash back to when Emmitt Smith had all the problems. But
yeah,
way back when. And this is different because there was a Troy Aikman thing there with Emmitt Smith, and these guys were going on their Super Bowl runs. This one just, you know, I've said this, and for football teams to be Super Bowl champions, they can't have these kind of distractions. They got to be focused. And when you're in the middle of what the running back just did for the Cowboys, that's taking away a lot of focus. That's taking away a lot of focus in that locker room. And, man, I really think this is their window. If they can be focused and they can play Cowboy football, ball control, and right now my heart's a little broken on this whole situation, because if they go into this season with this mess, they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl.
Good stuff. Rob, your take on this?
Well, I think Jerry Jones needs to be careful what he's saying. I definitely understand what Jerry Jones is saying, that you don't need a Russian champion to win the Super Bowl. But in Jerry Jones' case, they need Ezekiel Elliott to get to the Super Bowl. So I definitely understand what he's saying. But the way this team is constructed, the way this team is built, they are a better football team with Zeke Elliott, and they need Zeke Elliott in order to have any shot of getting to a Super Bowl or winning a Super Bowl. They definitely need him. So, you know, in my opinion, Jerry Jones definitely needs to be careful of what he's saying here, because Zeke Elliott has all the leverage. Even though he does have 2 years remaining on his contract, he has all the leverage here because, like I said, the Cowboys need him to be successful, and they need him to win football games. So I think in Jerry Jones' case, he's really got to be careful and choose his words wisely or what's coming out of his mouth in regarding this situation, because they definitely need Zeke Kelly.
Well, you see what they signed today, and they only signed him to a year contract. So I think,
Alfred Morris?
Yeah. I mean, that's not an answer, but that's a position. And I think they're going to stand their ground here. And like I said, it's just going to mess up their chance. And, yes, they are a better team with Ezekiel. But, man, you know, this is the part of football that is the business part of football. And –
Like I said, with Ezekiel,
we've had some legal issues. We've had some suspensions. We've had some stuff off the field that have cost the Cowboys game and have not, that go to his maturity. And it's scary, I think, for owners to pay the big money and somebody take the big money and go downhill from there.
Huge possibility. I think the whole thing that we're questioning is because I kind of agree with Robert, because, you know, again, it's like you have to word it differently. I mean, basically we get it that, you know, maybe rushing is not you know, you don't necessarily need a rushing champion, but you shouldn't say something like that. You should definitely say the way that that team is built, the way the Cowboys are built, they're built on defense. And, you know, obviously running the ball, like Rob Siddiqui, is a huge part of that. You know, obviously, you know, we can talk about, you want about Dak Prescott. You can talk about, you know, obviously they added a tumor, which is a great thing. But still, they are built on having a great defense, running the ball, and, you know, having Dak kind of be a game manager right now. That's kind of how this current Cowboys team is built. It's not built like back in the day. Whenever you had Emmitt, you had Triple H, you had Michael Irvin, you had Alvin Harper. You know, it's a different, it's a different team. So, like I said, you know, you may be sort of right, but you just don't say stuff like that. You don't put it on blast. And now you've kind of like even – you've kind of messed up the fragile psyche of that squad. I mean, you had your career coming off a pretty impressive, you know, season last year. I mean, obviously you felt it came a little short. Now you want to build on top of that. You're like, all right, so what can we do to kind of add on? Okay, we build, increase our depth, you know, add a couple pieces. You know, you kind of maybe open up the office a little bit more, but you know kind of what that team is built. And you just sat there, and you almost like you did like a self-inflicted wound, man. So, again, you don't need one of your better players, you know, obviously, you know, kind of in the thinking, oh, man, my owner doesn't think I'm doing something. You know, it's just, it's not good, you know. So that's why I agree with you, Rob. It's like, come on, man. And, again, I'm not a Cowboys fan, so it's kind of like, you know, the more
I like
to see them implode, you know, the more I like to see them implode, that is fantastic. But, you know, it's just crazy because I agree with you, Rob. You know, Zeke has a leverage. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily the most important piece, if you will, but he's darn near up there, man. So I guess we can talk about that. I don't know if he should be the highest paid, but, again, just based upon kind of what's happening, you know, he definitely should get a bigger piece of the pie from that perspective too. So, Rob, I don't know if you want to add on that, and then we'll let Curtis wrap it up, and then we'll kind of talk about what's happening with Cam Newton, if you will, accepting change. So, so go ahead.
I mean, that's, you know, I know we had some other topics related to, you know, we had some other topics related to Zeke Elliott. You know, we talked about, yeah, he definitely has the leverage. They definitely can't make it to the Super Bowl without him. They definitely can't win the Super Bowl without him. So it's, you know, they definitely need him in the fold. Do I think the Cowboys should be finding him? Yes. And the only reason I'm going to say they should be because he does have 2 years still related remaining on his contract. Now, the Cowboys have chosen not to find him. I mean, that's and the way I look at it, he still has 2 years left under contract. I could see if he only had 1 year left, then maybe I wouldn't find him. But he still does have 2 years left. He still holds the leverage. But I think if, from the Cowboys' perspective, I would think that they, in my opinion, should be finding him. I mean, that should be something that, you know, they definitely should be doing. But Zeke is definitely the most important player on their team. You know, most teams is a quarterback. Most teams might be a defensive superstar. Running backs doesn't have that value in most cases anymore. But in the Cowboys' case, Zeke Elliott is the most valuable player on that team. And, yes, to me, he's the best running back in the game and should be paid accordingly as well.
Better than Le'Veon Bell, huh? Interesting. Okay.
Well, Le'Veon Bell sat out a year. So,
yeah. I mean,
can't
like
say
said,
he's the
I mean,
best
again,
anymore.
Fair enough. I mean, we're still on that. All right, Curtis, go ahead and wrap this up, bro. Give us your thoughts, and then we got to wrap on the next topic too, man. So.
Yeah, I'm going to try to wrap this up. It, where I'm at, you know, and I'm a Cowboy fan, and I think America, they're the most watched team on TV, and that's why they're on TV so much, the Cowboys. You know, Jerry Jones has a good product here. But, you know, what we want out of Dallas, we want Super Bowls. We don't want – it's hard to watch Dallas when they stink up the place and have me opening up my windows and doors in the wintertime, you know, because I got to get that smell out, you know, out of my house. But Ezekiel, I'm – Jerry was smart with the cowboy hat and the setting that he was in. And so, you know, Jerry's trying to get people behind him. And you got to be realistic here. You know, if they can't, because like I said, Jerry's got other things to get to before he gets to Ezekiel because of that 2 year away from. And yeah, it's just, you know, this thing, it can turn into a nightmare for me in this football season, which before this happened, I was looking forward to thinking that this could be the Cowboys season. And now,
yep,
in the start of training camp, I got a pit in my stomach because this can derail everything.
Wow. Like I said, again, unfortunately, you know, Gary, not being Cowboys fans, we're not too, you know, sorry for you, but, you know, we understand. That's what I'm going to say, but, you know, it's all good. It'll be interesting unless Jerry Jones is doing some Jedi mind trick and kind of fooling us all and trying to take the attention off of the team. Point of the conversation. But let's keep us moving here. Unfortunately, we don't want to talk about all Cowboys. We do have to talk about a couple other things that are happening. Rob talked about training camps are opening. It's exciting. We're excited about Falcons and Broncos and the Hall of Fame game coming up soon, Thursday. Kicking off really quickly, in our NFC South here, let's talk about Cam Newton. And I guess the question, Rob, is can he prolong his career by accepting change? So what is your thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, it seems as though North Turner and Ron Rivera has really gotten to Cam Newton by taking care of himself, his body, not taking any hits, and not running as much anymore, and how that can improve the longevity of his career. So from that standpoint, maybe you might start to see a mature Cam Newton and taking care of himself, taking care of his body, sliding, not taking the hits, even though he's a big body, but he still has seemed to be injury prone there of late. And so he really has to do a better job of knowing when to run and not take hits and things of that nature. And I think, you know, obviously I'm a Saints fan and Andre is a Falcon fan. So we both don't want to see the Panthers succeed. And but, you know, the thing we got to be leery of is he may be finally maturing. I don't know if his accuracy is going to improve with his maturity, but he may be finally maturing as a football player.
Curtis?
Well, where I'm at is, you know, the maturity is a great issue. And is his heart really in the football? You know, he did a video thing. And the last thing he did, you know, he did his style, his, you know, music things. He didn't do any football. Come on, Cam. But they do got McCaffrey back there. They've kind of always had some running backs in Carolina. And their job is to get yards that Cam shouldn't get. And I think that's why they got Norm Turner there. They're trying to get that accuracy improved. And, you know, they don't seem to do back-to-back good seasons. And since they had a bad season last time, I think they really are focused on making sure you do a better job with the season this time, which is not good news for New Orleans or Atlanta. They may be coming this year. But there we go again. I can't say it enough. The focus, the desire. Cam, if you want to get back to a Super Bowl, you got to dig deep.
That is a good call. And I guess the thing as you touched on is definitely, I mean, when he got to Super Bowl, they had a, you know, really strong defense. They had a really strong running game. Cam kind of had one of his better seasons. I think he was kind of more balanced too, and I think that's what they're trying to do with Turner, as you mentioned, Rob. So just kind of, again, having a better offensive guru kind of helping him out. And the big if is, can he kind of see what's happening and like you said, Rob, kind of get the mature side and see if he's able to definitely take that advice, you know, not, you know, always, you know, be running, sliding, preserving his body, and you hope that he kind of hits that level too, because again, if he gets there, you know, Carolina should be a team to be working with, but right now, I'm kind of on that wait and see type of thing too, as well too. But you know, obviously he had an interesting offseason. Now is the time for him to make that transition. Let's keep this moving here, gentlemen. We're still staying in the NFL front, and man, I'd love to hear JQ talk about this. And a Big Mike, shout out to Big Mike if you're listening. Asking, is Aaron Rodgers still a top five QB? I'm curious to hear how Rob thinks about this, but we're gonna start with Curtis because I don't know if Rob's a true fan of Aaron Rodgers, but I still think, obviously, as long as he's still there, he does have he's still a top five, you know, QB for sure, just based upon attrition and, you know, obviously what he's done. But, you know, obviously that Green Bay team has had a lot of injuries to the offensive line, a lot of injuries, if you will. And I don't know if Aaron, maybe he doesn't seem like he's focused. I mean, that could be a situation too, where maybe he doesn't want it as much, but still in my eyes, and you got to kind of look at his body of work, he still is a top five QB. What do you think about that, Curtis?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is still a quarterback that scares everybody. And a lot of people believe he is the most talented quarterback in the league. And a lot of people feel like, in the last 2 minutes, the guy that's going to get you the win is going to be Aaron Rodgers. And he still has that in the NFL and all the sports castings and all the talk radio I hear. He still scares defenses. He still scares teams.
Tom Brady
now,
too.
A couple of things I always think about. What I think about Aaron Rodgers, and of course, the team I hate and the GOAT is, I think it was important for him to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And I think that was a bad move for Aaron Rodgers. I think Rodgers could have took a little bit less, got better talent in the line, got better running backs to help him out. Because the guy, I don't know what that discount double check thing is paying him. And he's been in a couple, you know, other commercials. I'm sure he could have took less from the Packers and did more discount double check and State Farm or whatever it is he's doing to make up the difference. If, you know, if he had that kind of mindset, if he was that kind of guy, looking at what this guy is doing in New England, he could have did that. And I think he would have been a lot better off instead of wanting to be the highest paid guy in the league. And that's my question to him. And that's what I think about him.
Interesting.
Yeah, those are some valid points there, Curtis. And I agree from the standpoint that he is still very dangerous. He definitely is still very dangerous, and he can put on a show at any moment's notice. But if you really look at Aaron Rodgers statistically and what he has done with his football team in the last 3 years, to me, he's just not grading out as a top five quarterback in the league anymore. Do you still see the potential here and there? Absolutely. But he's not grading out as a top five quarterback in the league any longer. And one of the things you got to include in that, in that category from being the top quarterback is leadership. And I have not seen leadership qualities out of Aaron Rodgers here in the last 3 years. And you don't see him being a leader. You see him being a complainer. You see him complaining about this and that as opposed to figuring out what we can do to, you know, to fix the problem. So is he possibly still a top five talent? Yes, but he's not currently a top five quarterback in the NFL any longer, and mainly because of his leadership is lacking. Talent is there. Leadership is lacking. And that's why I would put him outside the top five. Top 10, yes, I'll still put him in my top 10. But I don't have him in the top five because he's not really been a true leader. And he has not been able to help his team to overcome a lot of different issues over the last few years.
So now you're emo.
Seen a lot of people. You've seen a lot of people come out and say that he rolls his eyes. He'll disrespect the coach in play calling, and he's got more throwaways than anybody in the league because he doesn't want to follow through with what's going on there. And then the question also comes with the guy they hired. Boy, if that relationship goes bad, the leadership thing, you can throw that out the window.
Uh-oh. Yep, that's true. That's true. All right, it's been interesting to kind of get that perspective, too, as far as I had a feeling Rob wouldn't be a total fan of Aaron Rodgers, man. So, again, you know, it's just interesting to see him play that out, too. But like I said, I agree with you, Curtis. As long as he still does put fear in people in spite of what's happening, you know, obviously we can talk about leadership quality. That's just icing on the cake to have somebody that's that talented and to be a leader. So, you know, you can't be that lucky all the time. We got about 30-something minutes left, and we are going to keep this going because we want to talk about the relationship between John Gruden and Antonio Brown. I mean, how will that work out? I think you have two very passionate, headstrong individuals. You hope that John Gruden will kind of let Antonio Brown kind of blow off some steam, and then once he gets kind of focused, because he's obviously a talented player, we hope that they kind of mend those challenges. So what say you, Rob, about that?
I actually think they're going to hit it off quite well. Antonio Brown was looking for a fresh start. John Gruden is a player's coach, but he's also very stern and disciplined as well. And those were some of the rumors regarding Mike Tomlin as not being so much of a disciplined coach. I think they're going to hit it off well. I think Antonio Brown is going to respect Gruden. Mm-hmm. And also I think he's going to play hard for him. So I think they're going to be, just like any relationship, you may have a few bumps and bruises, but I think overall their relationship is going to be positive. And, I think he is going to have a big impact on that Raiders team. This is a team I don't think is a playoff team yet, but a very intriguing team. It should be a very interesting team to watch because there's some talent, there's some pieces. They got a lot of new players, a lot of new rookies. So very intriguing team, but I just don't see them yet. I think they're the third best team in that division behind Kansas City and San Diego. I'm sorry, not San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers now. But I do think they have leaped Denver, and they're the third best team in that division, in my opinion.
Nice.
Well, where I'm at is, I mean, how lucky are we? We get to see them starting August 6th on HBO in Hard Knocks. And because it's a TV show, we're probably not going to see the real deal.
Right.
I hope HBO is able to catch most of the real deal as they can. And because of them being on Hard Knocks, they're going to be – every time I see a team on Hard Knocks, you know, me being a football fan, and I see these teams in Hard Knocks, I believe in the hype that Hard Knocks puts on us, you know. So I believe, you know, they're going to go into the season, but I know that division, and that is a – really tough division, and the fact that I think this is their last year. I think the next year they're going to their home in Las Vegas, and I think this year, I think they got the Mexico City game, and I think they got a game in Australia, and they might have the England game, and I think they're going to be playing in some college stadiums this year.
Nice.
So they got a whole bunch of to them that is probably enough distractions to take away that championship focus. all around them. But we are lucky as football fans that we have them and we can see this relationship and we can see the hype. I think Hard Knocks gives you the hype of the team and the belief in pumping Antonio Brown up. But a lot of things are going to – Antonio, I think the Raiders are going to go as Carr goes, the quarterback there. And I think Antonio is going to go as Carr goes too. And I think there is some questions there with Carr. And that's what's going to have to play out.
Nice. Nice. All right. We're going to have some fun. Let's get my man JQ on the line as well. He is joining in. JQ, how you feeling, bro?
Man, your boy is exhausted, but I'm sorry I'm in my car. So if you hear the driving and maybe cussing somebody out, that is why. Because I am trying to get home. I've been trying to get home for a long time, but rain delay. What's going on, fellas? Hello?
Yep. Cool.
He asked us what's going on.
Yeah, we're talking about Antonio Brown and John Brown and how that relationship is going to materialize this season. If you want to give your feedback on that.
Well,
I hear a little echo, too, so be careful, too. So that's, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me turn that down. I think the proof is just going to be in the results. Like, if he goes out in Carr and then, you know, they bond and he goes out and he balls out for him and he makes him look like a genius to go find, he'll put up with all those quirks, the idiosyncrasies that Antonio Brown has. Well, if they go out there and they don't have it and he's out there being a diva like he was in his time there in Pittsburgh just on full on display, then they're going to butt heads. A head coach will let you get away with some things if you are a star player and you produce star results. They're like, okay, I can live with that. But if you go out there and you don't have the star player results, but you carry yourself like a star player, you're going to bump heads. I think that's just the bottom line.
Yep, good call. And I think what we were saying earlier, JQ, was that, you know, definitely that we know that he may respect John Gruden, Antonio Brown, that is. You know, obviously Mike Tomlin came from, maybe he wasn't known as a disciplinarian, you know, so maybe it was tough in the locker room, and I think he wanted a fresh start. So I think this is why this is a good scenario for the Raiders, you know, so this is an option for him to kind of, like, make his claim to be a leader. And so, again, we don't know exactly what Antonio Brown we're getting because he is fairly a talented wide receiver, so you're kind of seeing kind of that wait and see scenario for sure. So that's kind of what we were kind of wrapping up as far as that.
Gotcha.
Cool. All right. Let's see here. It feels like that, you know, Curtis, did you get a chance to talk about that? Yeah, you talked about that, so I'll make sure everyone had their time. It feels like, again, we keep picking on Aaron Rodgers again, but I guess the question is, can you win a championship with Aaron Rodgers? You missed our thing because we said earlier, JQ, that Robert right now doesn't think that he's a top five because of, you know, he didn't exhibit leadership qualities and statistically there's some challenges. Curtis is one of us saying that, you know, again, you still have to fear him because he is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, which I kind of agree with that. So, again, the question is now, can you win a championship with Aaron Rodgers at QB? And I guess the Q is right now. Rob started off. I'm going to let you have your little moment there, sir.
Sure, I'm going to go back to what I said a moment ago. Obviously, do I think Aaron Rodgers is still an extreme talent? Absolutely. Is he still a quarterback you have to fear? Absolutely. But if you've seen a lot of his childish ways here in the last 3 years, he's lacking leadership. And if you want to have a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the number one thing you need from that quarterback is leadership, then talent. It's got to be between the ears first and from the quarterback position. And that's the thing that you're lacking with Aaron Rodgers here of late for whatever reason. And he's not getting it between the ears from a leadership perspective. And that's why I don't think right now, unless we see a drastic change in his behavior, is that I don't think he's a guy I'll be looking for to lead my team if I want to win the Super Bowl this coming season. You know, so like I said, there's a talent there. Has he proven himself over the years? Yes. But he has not been an elite quarterback in the last 3 years in the National Football League. And a lot of it has to do with lack of leadership in that team. He has not been able to propel that team to overcome a lot of situations here, and it's because of his lack of leadership. So he would not be one of my guys that I would write down on a piece of paper if I wanted to go win the Super Bowl this year as the guy I would pick to be a quarterback.
Crazy. Wow. Okay. Curtis, take your thoughts. And we'll let JQ wrap it up. JQ, you know
what? What I'm going to say is I'm going to take it to the simplest form for Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' talent and his leadership. The first thing they got to do, they have to. It's going to be a failed season for Green Bay if they don't win that division. And we're talking about they're going to have to beat out Minnesota, and they're going to have to beat out Chicago that won that division last year. And Chicago is loaded for bear against Aaron Rodgers. They got some defensive guys that can get after Aaron Rodgers, and he better have some leadership, and he better have some talent. And I think Minnesota has the same thing. They're going for bear against Aaron Rodgers. And those teams are focused. There's three teams there that can win this division. And if Aaron Rodgers falls short in the talent and the leadership, they will not win that division. And that will be a loss, another lost season for the Green Bay Packers.
Nice. Go ahead,
Jake.
You wrap this up.
Yeah, I think it's a more nuanced approach to that problem, the way I view it. It's because you got Devontae Adams, but he had Jordan Nelson and Randall Cobb, and you know he had more of an efficient running game in Amon Green, so to speak. And then those weapons kind of got older and became less effective, and the system became, well, just throw the ball out there and let Aaron Rodgers bail us out. And while he has phenomenal talent, when you don't replenish your offensive weapons around him, you really don't give him a kick-ass defense like that Bears defense you just talked about. And his offensive line was always hurting and sitting on the other guy that retired. I think it just exposed some flaws that he just can't carry that team by himself without having a Bill Belichick-type system where they feel like you just plug guys in here and there. And it's like, what? They went to New England, and they just balled out. And they go somewhere else. They don't do anything. I don't think Mike McCarthy had that really at the end. It was like Aaron Rodgers can bail us out. And it's like, yeah, he can't really always bail you out. And you're right, Rob. He's got some stuff that he's still got some growing up to do. And it's sad that we talk about that at his age, was he 30 or something like that? He's got some growing up to do. So I will give you that piece of it. But I look at that, at those weapons as they started to decline. I give you Devontae Adams, but nobody was really scaring you. Aaron Jones was getting suspended. I mean, I think it's just a multi-layer problem they had in Green Bay. I think they needed a fresh start, and we'll see what the floor does for Green Bay. But they got to get him some more weapons, for one, and they got to protect him. Because, like you said, that Chicago defense, that Minnesota defense really ain't no punk. And if you're just going to say, I'm going to roll this ball out here, and Aaron Rodgers, you just create some magic and win some games. Nah, bro, these ain't your uncle's Bears from a couple years ago where you can just whoop their ass. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go out there and play some ball. You got to have a good team to go play that team. And I just don't think they had the talent-wise outside of him to match up the way they should have. So I'm interested to see if he can elevate them, or if they can give him some more kind of structure in the offensive line and the system that they can rely on, where it's just not, hey, Aaron Rodgers, go wing it and win it for us.
Nice. Okay. Nice take on that, JQ. All right, we're keeping this going. We have approximately about 21 minutes here. We are going to keep staying on this topic here with the NFL. And, Curtis, I'm going to let you lead off. We're going to talk about what is tax value to the Cowboys at the moment. So go ahead. We'll go for, so keep going there.
I'll go last because I'm in the car.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Curtis is on that. Yeah, go ahead.
This is his year to prove his worth. And this is his year. Now, one thing he doesn't have, he doesn't have leadership problems. And in actuality, the light may come on for him. I think he's getting better and better at being the Cowboy quarterback as he gets the experience. He's got plenty of weapons around him. He's going to have to do it, between the ears. And this can be, even with the distraction of Ezekiel, he can maybe put this team on his back and prove himself. And like he said, he believes his contract will take care of himself. He's got a better record than Carson Wentz. And he's also been more healthy than Carson Wentz. But people don't think he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. I think he's got a chance this year to put those doubters away. I think Zach can be a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. And if he doesn't get Ezekiel to rely on, then it's going to be on him. And I think he's got the maturity and the leadership to accept that challenge. And let's see him prove it.
Great, Rob.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dak Prescott, I think the thing with you looking for on him is to be a game manager. I think, you know, and should he be paid well? Absolutely, just because quarterbacks are just getting paid. So definitely he's going to get an elite contract, and he should. But I think what you're looking for out of him, if you're the Cowboys, is you want him to be a game manager. If you got Zeke Elliott in the backfield, you got more weapons on the perimeter, you got a good offensive line, you just want him to be smart with the football, take care of himself, take care of his body, and manage the game, because the Cowboys are going to have, on paper, maybe one of the more elite defenses in the league, possibly. I mean, they have defensive players on every level of that defense. And so I think for the most part, you're looking for Dak Prescott to be efficient, to be smart, and to be a game manager and help that team win football games. They're going to be one of the toughest outs in the league this year if Zeke Elliott comes back. And so that's what you're looking for. And definitely, you know, he has great value to that team. And like I said, do you put him in the same conversation as the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees's of the world? Absolutely not. Or even a Russell Wilson. No, he's not in that category. But he can be a quality game manager, and they have all the pieces around him to be effective. I mean, you just saw a few years back, they were 13-3, with the best record in the NFC. I mean, he lost in the playoffs, but he has great value to that organization, and he definitely deserves to be paid accordingly.
Well, see, and this is where I'm going to differ. Because he's going to want like $28, $30 million a year. And for $28, $30 million a year, you damn sure better be more than a game manager. You have to be a dynamic playmaker and able to do things when Zeke is not there, whether it's a holdout or a suspension or whatever. I want to say that when I was watching Shannon Sharp on the screen, he had a stat that Dak was 0-7 when Zeke rushes for 75 yards or less. And he's only 500 in games when Zeke doesn't play. That to me does not sound like somebody that should make $30 million a year. Now, I agree with you, Curtis, that maybe this is easier to go ahead and approve it. But if I'm going to pay you $28, $30 million a year, which is crazy, the quarterback salary scale is another topic. And they're going to hamstring franchises from really winning the Super Bowl unless your quarterback takes a discount. But if I'm going to make you and place you in that kind of rarefied air, making that kind of money, you damn sure better go out there and make some plays when things break down and not always rely on Zeke in that running game. So I'm not sold yet on Dak making $30 million a year, whatever ridiculous they're going to give him or how much guarantee he's going to get in that. Because for me, you got to do more than that for that kind of money. If I'm going to pay you $15 to $20 million, if you're going to be Andy Dalton and make $17 million a year, you can be a game manager. But for $28 million a year, you better be able to go out there and break some wide open ridiculous top 10 sports in the place for that kind of money. That's just me.
Nice.
Yeah. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. It just got quiet. I don't know if y'all just was mad at me for saying that or what. I was like, well, damn, I didn't know we had Dak Prescott fans on the call like that.
No, we don't have. No, I was going to say, JQ, that's the going rate of quarterbacks right now as far as what Dak is getting, man. So you have to kind of go with the flow with that, man, because, again, that's, you know, you're looking at it with, you know, you don't have to break the bank, but then again, I mean, where are we at quarterback-wise? I mean, so it's either, you know, right now he's kind of there. we talked about earlier in the show that, you know, the way the Cowboys are built, you need Zeke, you need that strong defense, you need that Dak not to make any mistakes. So until they open up the offense, until, you know, they become the triplets reincarnated, they have to go with this current version and pay Dak where they are right now. I do want to talk
but
about
you said open up the offense. Wait a minute. But you said open up the offense.
No.
If I'm going to pay
okay,
you that kind
okay.
of money, I need to be able to. I mean, if I'm going to pay you that kind of money, I should have been able to open up the offense. That's my point.
That's true.
If I've got
that's
to trim
true.
The
that's
offense
true.
And trim it down because you can't do certain things, then I can't pay you that kind of money. These GMs at some point have to say, you know what? That guy can be your mistake, and he can mess up your salary cap. Maybe he does blow up and become the guy that we all think he can be, and you look great and I look stupid. But if he does not, and you got a $28 million, $29 million cap hit on your year for this guy for the next 4 or 5 years because you overpaid him, and now you can't pay Jalen Smith, or you can't pay Zeke, or you can't pay Amari
Cooper. That's true.
What are you supposed to do then? That's what I'm saying. At some point, you have to hold a line and say, you know what? I love you, young fella, and maybe you want to take a smaller year contract to get to the next contract to where you can prove that you can make $30 million a year. But I'm just not giving out $28, $30 million a year because I feel like, well, Matthew Stafford got that, and then Matt Ryan got that. And it's like, Matt Ryan's an MVP. Like, as much as he gets dogs, he's still an MVP in this league. Dude, you haven't done anything yet. And if I have to trim down my offense for you at this point in time, then you're not worth $28, $30 million. That's just me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. We got about 13 minutes left in the show. We got a lot of things to discuss here really quick. I do want to talk about to shift gears here. I do want to talk about an interesting situation. If you're watching the NFL Top 100, interesting that, Baker Mayfield ranked ahead of Matt Ryan. And again, no matter what you say, I mean, it's definitely what the NFL player is looking at. As a thought, I'm a fan of the Falcons. I do have some challenges with Matt Ryan, but again, you know, he's my guy, so I guess I got to. Well, he's the quarterback, so you got to like roll with that. I don't think he should be ranked ahead of Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield.
No.
You definitely like the direction of where he's going, but just right now, your boy hadn't won anything. He hadn't won an MVP. You know, he's still just kind of coming off of that crazy season with what happened with Hugh Jackson and stuff like that too. So right now, it's kind of a travesty from that perspective. And a quick shout out to the Braves, man. And you know, 11-7 win over the Nationals today. Even though,
Nationals.
Lord have mercy, I can't stand Luke Jackson. I was just texting people about that. This dude right here. Got it. I was like, I bet you $10 he walks, and then he ended up walking you, boy. And I'm like, oh man, here we go. So just one of the situations too. So that's a twofer, if you will. So Rob. Curtis, JQ, you know how the drill works. We've got about 12 minutes here, and then we'll get ready to have a brief OT portion. So go ahead, Rob.
Definitely. I wouldn't, you all know I don't like the Falcons, but I definitely would not put Baker Mayfield over Matt Ryan at this stage in his career. That's blasphemy. And definitely, like I said, you can't put him over Matt Ryan at this stage. Possibly down the road, possibly, but yeah, definitely not. And the Braves, as you mentioned, is playing good baseball right now. An impressive win over the Nationals. They continue to hold off the Nationals and the Phillies in the National League East. Their bats was on fire tonight, putting in 11 runs on the board. So definitely, they're going to be a very intriguing team in the National League in the playoffs here with the Cubs and the Dodgers, and we'll see who these two wild card teams are. But definitely the Braves are an intriguing team to keep an eye on here going forward.
Yeah, and tonight, again, I was watching that because, Lord, I was sitting there watching it because I was in the rain delay, so I saw a lot of that. When I saw the end, where Luke tried to get back all of that lead to Washington in the bottom of the ninth, they have to go get a reliever. And if they have to go get a couple relievers. You just can't run that one guy out every night and think he's going to be the savior. That's where – if I was a Braves fan, I would be a little concerned. You say, okay, we go get this reliever, bam, we in. He can't pitch every day out the bullpen. They need a couple of guys. They need somebody to step forward that's probably already there, maybe in the minor leagues. They definitely need to get somebody on the free agent market. I know they've bandied about Edwin Diaz as well. So there's some moving parts there. I don't think they're done yet. I think, if anything, tonight, even though they got the win, it exposed how bad that back end of that bullpen can be, and they've got to shore it up for sure. And I agree with you totally, Rob. I know we disagreed on Dak. But come on, man. The dude had one good season. Does he look like he could have a higher ceiling than Matt Ryan? I would say yes. But right now, Matt Ryan is an MVP in this league. Do you know how hard it is to be the MVP of the NFL? And he's done it. and you're going to put a dude that had one good year over him, and this dude is still playing decent ball for Lynn, I think he can still get back to it. He may not be have the same fastball, but come on, man. It's like Bucky Brooks and his rankings about Aaron Rodgers not being a top five. He had freaking Pat Mahomes number one. I don't like Pat Mahomes, and I don't want anybody on here that's Kansas City fans. Like last week, you were talking bad about Pat Mahomes. Now you're talking bad about Pat Mahomes. No, I'm not. He had a ridiculous season. He did get that MVP, but he's had one year. You can have a meteor jump into the sky and fall back to earth after a year. You're like, damn, we was really hype over this dude. And he didn't have to have a good 10-year career. He had a good 1 or 2 year career. So let's just pump the brakes and stop getting caught up in the moment of now and give these guys a little time to grow and shine before we heap all this praise on them.
Yeah.
What's happened is they are –
And just one more point, Mayfield had a solid season. I wouldn't even call it good. So, I mean, you just can't put him over Matt Ryan already.
Well, what happened is they may be the biggest hype machine in the NFL. And if I'm not mistaken, they were on Hard Knocks last year. And then the addition of New York saying, we're not going to trade him. And an hour later, they trade him. And now he's over there with his best friend and all those running backs they've got. And they say they got one of the best tight ends in the league. These guys have a lot of hype. They do. He's nowhere near Matt Ryan. Right, Matt Ryan has some NFL records for touchdowns and yards that this guy is nowhere near getting. And they got a lot. Cleveland Browns are a big hype machine, but I don't think they're going to win that division. I don't see Cleveland winning that division. I really don't. If they do, it will shock me, but I don't see them winning that division. I don't.
Ooh,
if he doesn't win that division, that hype's going to go down.
There it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call. Rob, wrap this up, bro.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in.
Wrap up this topic. I'm sorry. I should have told you we're 2 minutes in. My bad. Wrap up this topic, then I'll tell you. Yeah.
We still got 8 minutes.
Go ahead, man. I'm going out on a limb with
Cleveland. I'm going to give them a slight edge in winning that division over Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think it's going to be a tight three-way race between those three teams. I really do. I'm sorry, JQ, about the Bengals. But I think it's going to be a tight three-team race between the Browns, the Steelers, and the Ravens. I'm going to go out on a limb that the Browns are going to come out slightly on top to win that division this year, which I think could be a very intriguing race between those three teams. I think so. I think it's going to be very intriguing. But I'm going to give the slight edge to the Browns finally getting over the hump and the dog pound back in the playoffs this coming year. But still not putting Baker Mayfield over Matt Ryan yet as a quarterback. But I think when you look at Myles Garrett, an improving quarterback, the depth that they have at the running back position, an improving offensive line, and the weapons they have on a perimeter, tight end and wide receiver. They have weapons. And then when you got Myles Garrett and an elite cornerback on the roster as well, they have the positions that you need to be successful. And it's when you look at it from a personnel standpoint, they are better than the Ravens and the Steelers. I'm going to see the Steelers and the Ravens culture is going to keep them in the race, but I think their Browns is going to be the slight edge this year.
And you know what? It hurts my soul to say this. I think it's going to be Pittsburgh again. Sometimes you can have addition by subtraction. He was clearly weighing on that locker room. I feel like they're not going to be a 13-3 team. I agree. It's going to be a 9-7, 10-6 kind of winner coming out the SEC North, but you still got Big Ben, who's a multiple Super Bowl winner. Tomlin has won a Super Bowl, and people need to put a little respect on his name. I would like Tomlin if he didn't coach the Steelers, but I hate him because he does. But then you look at Joe Hayden. can he do enough in those matchups against OBJ to where you can kind of match him up? I mean, you're going to give him a little help, but single him up some to where you can kind of roll your coverage over to the tight end and to Landry. And I just feel like they're going to find a way, and we're going to all hate and say, man, how do we knock them down so many pairs? And I know they lost Antonio Brown, but Juju is proven to be a good number two. Can he make that leap? The jury is still out, and I will own that. But I just look at it and say, sometimes when you clear up your locker room and you get everybody back on the same page, you get rid of the Bell distraction, you get rid of the Brown distraction. James Conner is not a bad back. Juju is a good wide receiver. James Washington might be able to slide into that two role. Juju can move up to the one role. I just think they're going to find a way to win that division. I hate to say that out loud. It hurts my soul. It hurts to the stomach. I feel like I should just throw up from having said that out loud. But I just see it happening again.
Yes, go ahead. All right.
Do
you
a closet Pittsburgh
here
fans
show.
At the queue, man?
You get the hell out of here. You get the hell out of here.
Like
you know you're being your dream somehow. See you later.
Man, if you don't stop that. I didn't call in for this abuse.
Oh man. All right, we got about literally 4 minutes, so we gotta be really tight on this last topic, guys. So literally, we gotta talk about what's happening with Mike Trout. Is he having the best season of his career? And I guess we may want to like definitely say for the OC push, if we can get in about Madison Bumgarner. Should the Giants trade him? And we'll let Rob finish up with some stuff about some basketball too. But two topics for you. Rob, start us off, and then JQ, and then we'll circle it back to Curtis if you will too. So go ahead on that.
Well, yeah.
Be brief.
Sucks. Mike Trout is definitely the front runner for the AL MVP, and the Angels are 11 and a half games back in the division. I mean, that's the greatest season he's having. And, I mean, but shucks. I mean, it's from an American League standpoint, he is the front runner for the MVP. With the kind of production that he's putting up this year, it's insane. I mean, he's on pace for 52 home runs, 127 ribbies, and 126 walks. His contact rate is 84.4%. His strikeout rate is 17.5%. That's the best of his career.
Wow.
I mean, barring any foreseen injuries, anything like that, he is definitely on pace. And this is even dealing with tragedy in that locker room this year. What the Angels have gone through with the Skaggs. But, yeah, I mean, he's on pace for a phenomenal season. You can make a case for Cody Bellinger being better, but he's in the National League, and he's 24 years old. I mean, Trout is 28 years old, and like I said, barring anything unforeseen, I can't see him not winning the AL MVP. Or at worst, he definitely should be in the top two.
Yeah, and I have him on my fantasy team, and I just pulled it up to look at his numbers. Just, you know, I know he's been killing it. But I'm looking at it, he's rostered in 99.6% of leagues. Which 0.4% of leagues is Mike Trout on the waiver wire? Like, what kind of fantasy baseball league do you have happening when Mike Trout is not on somebody's team? But 82 runs, you know, 34 home runs right now, 85 RBIs. I mean, he's got 8 stolen bases, and the stolen bases is a lost art 9 days, so I'm not going to come in for that. But the fact that they wanted to have him hit and run more often, he could absolutely do that. And he's batting 301. He's still batting above 300 with that kind of power numbers. And you talked about his walks and his strikeout clips. I mean, it's insane. Mike Trout is just a freak of nature, and he's just lost on that Angels team out west where he's not getting enough publicity, and MLB is not doing enough to pump him. He's ridiculous.
Hey.
He's going to be the MVP.
Yes. Yep. I got you. Hold on. I got to cut you off real quick. Thank you. Yeah, hold on, Curtis. Save your thought. We're going to let Rob wrap it up, and then we'll get ready to let Curtis do your thought, and we'll talk about more about Madison Bumgarner. Go ahead, Rob. Got a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Cowboy fans, y'all should be happy. We started the show talking a lot about you guys, and Deke Elliott. Write us, let us know what you think. Let us know if you appreciate the show, like what you hear from us, or if you disagree with us. We still want to hear from you as well. Once again, we thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back on the air live on next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, that's a week from tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Obviously, we're going to be more football talk as we get in the heart of the training camp preseason schedule here. We're going to get more into our predictions going into the season. and even into our college football predictions as well. So definitely more to come. Fantasy football, for those of you all are interested, our drafts are coming up. And Curtis, if you want to join the league, let me know as well. We'll get you anyone as well. We're getting ready for the fantasy football drafts coming up here in August as well. So get ready. It's an exciting time of the year. Once again, next Tuesday night, you don't want to miss us, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, people.
Yeah, I'm sorry I was late, good people. The rain got me. But I hope you guys had a good time talking Cowboys with my fellas, and we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Nice. Go ahead, Curtis. All you, sir.
Okay. What I was going to say, Mike Trout, and I'm on the West Coast here, and the Angels came up to Seattle a bit. Mike Trout is a guy that's going to make me buy a ticket. And I know that the Angels signed a big TV contract, and the whole thing about that TV contract was about Mike Trout. You know, he was able to get a TV contract for that organization down there in L.A. And what I can say about him, if you like baseball and you appreciate watching good players play baseball, if you get a chance to go in the West here, or if they come out East and you get a chance to see Mike Trout, I think that's a good thing for all baseball fans to do, is to see him play baseball, because you're really seeing a really talented, really good baseball player. And, you know, in the history of baseball, if you got a chance to see Willie Mays, and you got a chance to see Hank Aaron, and you got a chance to see Willie Stargell, you know, this is a guy that I think you should try to see before too long.
Very nice. JQ.
Yeah, I mean, just to wrap that up, yeah, he's being ridiculous. I was only going to touch on Madison and the fact that have they burnt that bridge, because he's a free agent after this year, and he's been involved in so many trade rumors. And as much as he went to that franchise, especially in the postseason, how does that play on his psyche and whether or not he wants to return to San Francisco? Because they have put themselves in contention for that wild card spot in that jumble in a mess that is the wild card race. So, I mean, you're talking about giving up somebody that, if you get to the postseason, has proven his chops time and time again in postseason play. How do you give him up? But the other side of that is, have you burnt that bridge with him by saying, we're going to trade him. Then all of a sudden, you got really hot. Now you're talking about keeping him. How does that play between him in the locker room and that clubhouse? So that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out tomorrow.
Well, the Giants actually came out today and said they are not going to trade him because they want to be buyers here at this trading deadline as opposed to sellers.
Crazy.
And, yeah, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, they're in a wild card running right now. But Madison Baumgartner has been part of three World Series championships for the Giants, and he's played a big role on all three of those championships. So they want to make a run at it here in the playoffs. I mean, like I say, it looks like they're in contention for a wild card. So they've decided today that they want to be buyers here at this trading deadline and not sellers.
That's a gamble.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, and baseball is a big deal in San Francisco, and they are filling up that stadium down there too. And that's a nice stadium to, you know, to visit. And I know a few of you guys
have
been.
It's hard to beat that location.
Yeah. I mean, it's crunch time for baseball now, and this is when you make your move. And like you said, the Giants are probably looking at competing for that wild card, and so they had to take Baumgartner off of there and give it a run now and see if they can get there, and then they can deal with the aftermath after the season if he gets to go somewhere else. But right now, focus, get in the playoffs, and give it a go with the best you got.
Cool. All right, we're wrapping this up here. Let's talk about these last couple topics. I'm sure JQ is just, you know, chomping at the bit to talk about would Anthony Davis' career be a failure if he doesn't win a championship?
Boom.
Oh gosh.
And I think we're all in agreement that I would say yes, because given the way he forced himself out of New Orleans, you know, wearing the That's All Folks shirt at the end of the game last year, leaving the arena during the middle of the game. I mean, you've made all these power moves to get out of New Orleans to chart your own course. If in charting that course, you run aground and, you know, you hit a rock out there in the middle of the sea, then yeah, this is a failure. He's got to win one. I don't think he necessarily has to win it this year. I would love it. But if his career comes to an end and the way that things have played out with New Orleans and forcing his way out of there to go to a destination of his choosing, and he chooses wrong and or doesn't live up to the expectations, with all the talents that guy has, yeah, a pure failure. He's going to live with that.
Yeah, JQ, you took my exact thoughts on this situation too. The way he forced his trade out, his definitely a career will be a failure without winning the championship. I mean, you took my exact thoughts. And like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be this year, but if his career it ends without a championship, it will be a failure based on the way he forced himself out of New Orleans. May not have been the case if he would have stayed, but definitely the way he forced himself out, his career will be a failure if he somehow does not win a championship.
Yeah.
Well, where I'm at on this thing is, man, what the NBA did this summer is phenomenal. There's 10 teams today. Can anybody say who's going to be the NBA champion at the end of the 2019-2020 season? It's wide open. And a lot of cities in the
that
NBA
Western Conference is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And chomping at the bit. But because of LeBron James and how healthy he is, I mean, they got to win their building, and they got to win this West, which is not going to be a cakewalk. The West is loaded, including my Portland Trail Blazers. Have put together some people that are directly aimed at Anthony Davis and getting in his way and being as tall as he is and maybe as talented. Well, not as talented, but to get in his way.
I don't say easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, but the NBA did a great job. And Anthony Davis is part of this great job that the NBA did to have this season, this up here in Portland. They're already saying we're 2 weeks away from selling tickets for preseason Blazer games. Only 2 weeks away.
Wow.
Yeah, the thing is, they did a great job of putting a lot of nobody can tell me. I don't believe nobody can tell me who's going to win this NBA championship this year. And if you can, I won't believe you.
Nice.
Okay. It's insane. Well, when you look at the Western Conference alone, you got the two L.A. teams. I mean, you got the Rockets now with Westbrook and Harden. I don't think you can still eliminate Golden State out of the mix. I mean, that's four teams. You got the Blazers. That's five. You got the Utah Jazz has gotten better. That's six. You haven't even talked about the Denver Nuggets, and they were the number two team in the number two seed in the Western Conference. And so it is going to be straight up insane in the Western Conference. I mean, the only team that was a playoff team that you could definitely eliminate is OKC. I mean, they won't be back in the playoffs next year. So that's a fact. They won't be back in there. But everything else is like, wow, it's going to be insane. In the Western Conference and the NBA. And even in the East won't have as many teams, but the team that comes out of the East is still going to be very formidable. Whether that be the Sixers, whether that be the Bucks, or whether that be the Celtics, you're still going to have a formidable team coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. All right. This is where we're going to go here because I was kind of trying to figure out which way I want to go. I want Rob to talk about this topic because I know There's a couple of interesting kind of like parallels as far as what's happening with Chris Paul. And I guess will he end his career without a title? I'm going to let Rob talk about this. And then also, and everyone around the room, then we'll segue this into kind of what's happened with the Rockets, because obviously what happened with the Rockets, they made that move, and now they picked up, you know, Westbrook, which is a huge thing. But again, we've kind of seen that, if you will, even though Westbrook is a different player than Chris Paul. But again, we'll see, can they win? And I know we've talked about all how the West is stacked and stuff like that too. But that's kind of how we want to kind of end this. And then we will wrap up the show too. So go ahead, Rob, on that front. Tell us your thoughts about this.
I'm going to say yes, Chris Paul ends his career without a championship. He would not be an NBA champion with his. And I think here's the challenging part. His contract is pretty much hamstrung right now. It's going to be hard for a team to convince themselves to make that trade and get Chris Paul with that contract. And you see OKC's even having trouble trading him at the moment, and to the point where they say it looks like he's going to be on the opening day roster. So I think from that standpoint, and by the time this contract is over, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to be 37 or 38 years old. So that's going to be very challenging as well. So I'm going to say definitely he's not going to be an NBA champion when he ends his career. Moving on to the Houston Rockets here, one of the things that still makes them a very intriguing team, and I still have to say, yes, they can be a contender for an NBA championship, is because they still have some other pieces on their team that's going to help them on the defensive end, like Clint Capela, P.J. Tucker, and and Russell Westbrook is a solid defender. Harden, obviously, is not that great of a defender, but I think they still have some solid role players that's going to make them competitive. It's just going to be a matter of can Westbrook and Harden play well together from a basketball standpoint, as far as sharing the basketball standpoint. But they have the role players, and they have the two superstars that you can definitely put them in that conversation now. It's being right up there with the Lakers and the Clippers as far as being a contender, or the Warriors, Blazers, Jazz, whoever you want to put up there as being contenders this coming season. You have to include the Rockets in that conversation too now.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I agree with pretty much everything you just said. The only caveat I have about Chris Paul, because that was going to be my point, is that his contract is going to hamstring him. He's going to have to take a hard look in the mirror. He's the president of the NBA PA Association, and I don't know how this is going to play out, but he's going to have to take a buyout. He's going to have to take a significant buyout and reduce his salary to say, okay, this gets me free. Now I can go sign in place X, and I won't make that money, but I'm not willing to take less money to go join and be the third wheel on one of these teams that have these superstar duos. If he does that, he has a chance to win an NBA title. But if he says, no, I need all that money, player, I got kids to feed, yada, 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 if he does that, he will not win an NBA title, because nobody's going to be able to fit him in their salary cap structure, nor should they want to, with the contract that he has now. So I 99.9% agree with Rob. The only small caveat I have is if he takes a hard look in the mirror and says, I need to take a significant amount less money on this contract that I signed to be free to go sign to where I want to go. And as far as the Rockets, I agree with you totally. P.J. Tucker, Capela, you still got some score punch. I believe they still have Eric Gordon as well. Like, they have the ability to still defend some and put the ball in the basket. But the only way this works to me is that when you have these stretches where you need shooting, where they say, okay, Harden is going to become my two guard, and Westbrook is going to become my point guard. And Harden's going to have to give that up and be able to use some of his shooting that Westbrook does not have to kind of, you know, stretch a defense to where they just can't sag off of Westbrook and say, yeah, well, you're going to have to go 100 miles an hour to the rim, but we're going to back up 5 steps and give you the jump shot, and you're going to have to go bull in China shop in the middle of the lane that's fully packed waiting on you trying to get to the rim because we know you can't shoot. They're going to have to find ways in those sets to let Harden be that off guard and let Westbrook run the offense and let, you know, Harden kind of have that secondary role of ball handler, but primarily being more of a shooter in certain instances and stretches of the game where they need that to happen. Not to say you do that for the whole time throughout the game, because Harden is too good with the ball in his hands to totally take that away and revamp it and give it totally to Westbrook as the point guard. But key stretches in the game where it gets tight and you're playing one of those other teams and you need buckets, but you need to have some shooting to make that defense stay honest, they're going to have to be able to incorporate that into D'Antonio sets, or it's not going to get them over the hump. When they face the elite here in the playoffs and you start getting to the opening round, is going to be crazy. But when you start talking about the conference semifinals and maybe the conference finals, I mean, that's going to be crazy. They're going to have to be able to do that in order to be successful.
Man, I think that's a really good point on that role change and those guys really coming together and trying to figure out what they need to get over the hump over there in Cleveland. And I believe that both Harden and Westbrook would enjoy being an NBA champion. And I think that's something they very much want. What I think about Chris Paul, I'm starting to think about, is he another Carmelo Anthony? And where I'm going with that, with Chris Paul, is I'm hearing stuff. A lot of people say, we love you, we love you, we love you, Carmelo Anthony, but no, we don't want you to play with us. And I think Chris Paul is right there, too. He's hearing everybody say, we love you, we love you, we love you, but no, we don't want you to play with us. I think Chris Paul is there. And I think Chris Paul, he has a personality that he doesn't get along with a lot of people in the NBA. I don't know if it's his game. I don't know if he thinks his doodle don't stink. I don't know what's going on there. But people tell you that they love him, but nobody wants to play with him. And that's what Carmelo Anthony ran into towards the end of this year. Oh, we love you, but we don't want to play with you.
Yeah, that won't put Chris Paul quite as bad as Carmelo Anthony just yet. Carmelo Anthony is just not a great basketball player anymore at this stage of his career. I think Chris Paul can still help some teams. And, you know, JQ made a really good point as far as, you know, taking a buyout. I think he could still help some teams and be a facilitator. It's just his ego is too big, and whether or not he's willing to do that is a big question. But he can still play in the NBA. If he's healthy, he can still play. And Carmelo Anthony, big thing is, I don't know if he can still play other than just shoot the basketball. He can't guard a statue. He can't guard any one of our grandmothers. And so, you know, he can't play. He just can't play in the NBA anymore. Chris Paul can still play in the NBA.
Yeah, I give you that.
Gotcha. Nice. Well, as always, gentlemen, we did a fantastic job of being as succinct as possible. If you did not know, really quickly, we're going to let Rob wrap this up. But, again, a lot of love to if you didn't know, tomorrow is Curtis's birthday. And some love for you, bro.
Cooler McGee.
Have a little fun for Curtis.
Yeah,
baby,
another year.
Hey, man, happy birthday, brother.
Birthday.
You know, these aren't guaranteed, so when you get them, celebrate them. Because these are not guaranteed. Yeah.
But again, man.
Celebrate them.
You're kind of joking.
And thank you guys.
I was singing that song early in the show. Andre went dig it up for us. Good job, Dre.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It was just love. But again, Curtis, man, have some fun. Enjoy that that day, man. You know, I would say have a drink a shot for me. Have some fun. Do it, man. Enjoy your day tremendously too, man, because you took it off. I love it. For the past 20 years, he's been taking it off. Man, that's a great thing. Rob, what a great show. Again, wrap this up.
Leo.
And,
I love it.
There it is. Wrap it up, Rob. Officially.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports to the 12th Man, getting you ready for the NFL season, getting you ready for the stretch run in Major League Baseball, and talking basketball with an amazing NBA summer. So we had a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot to talk about again on next Tuesday night as well. You definitely don't want to miss it. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. And don't forget about our friends down in Honolulu in Hawaii. Send us some pineapples, please. 5 p.m. next Tuesday night in Honolulu in Hawaii next week. Don't forget about us. Good night, people.
You are wild. Yeah, shout out to my fellow Leo over there. Happy birthday, brother. And if you haven't had a chance to go look at it, that brawl between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh was insane. I don't know how happy I am about the Trevor Bauer deal. I think it could be good, but they gave up a lot to get him. But Amir Garrett charging over to the Pittsburgh dugout and throwing an insane straight left hand is one of the craziest things you will see today. So if you haven't had a chance to go look at it, please do. And you'll be like, oh, my God. It's all kinds of suspicious coming in that game. It's gonna be really bad. Good night, good people.
Wow.
Good night, good people.
I love it. Good night, big people. Braves traded for Chris Martin. Everyone's making these Coldplay references, memes, and everything like that too. Reliever. So we'll see how it plays out too, man. Again, it's been an interesting offseason, and we'll get ready for the stretch run. Have some fun, gentlemen. Again, have a fantastic week. We'll be talking soon. I know I've been crazy busy, man. So again, a lot of love. I'll be watching the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, Falcons and Broncos. Get ready to see. We'll talk about what's happening as far as that too, as far as the Hall of Fame and all that good jazz too. Gentlemen, be good. Curtis, have fun. We'll talk to you guys next week.
I will.
All right, y'all.
Good night.
Leader. Good night.
Good night.